So I'm up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you remember, we started doing a series on the Holy Spirit. We have covered foundations of the Spirit, and now we're going to be looking specifically at the spiritual gifts and giving an explanation to them. So I'm excited about this. I think this is something that the body of Christ needs to be well educated on. I know God's going to use it. So why don't we read together just the first couple of verses here, really a verse and part of a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting here in verse 7. And notice what it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit." Now, I don't know your background. Many of you come from many different backgrounds. One thing about a non-denominational church or interdenominational church is we have people from every denomination, every background, probably even from other non-denominations that are attending here. If you've been coming to Calvary Chapel any length of time, you know that we do believe in the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we've been going through this entire series looking at the Holy Spirit and now getting to the gifts of the Spirit. But I believe this is something that is very important, no matter your background, to understand. I think a lot of people, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, we've talked about it, they shy away from it because they either don't understand it or they're afraid of the gifts or whatever the case might be. But we're going to see today that the gifts of the Spirit are something that God gives us as tools for ministry and tools for life. You know, if you are working on a project, if you're a builder and you don't have the proper tools, your building is never going to be the way you want it to be. And you might end up building something, but what's it going to look like by the time you're done? You need the proper tools and you need the good tools. You're only as good as the tools you have. And so God gives us the gifts of the Spirit so that we can be well-rounded as a believer and we can use these gifts to do ministry, but also just living as believers ourselves, living the Christian life. We need these tools to work with the Lord. But first of all, we need to understand the tools, and today's going to be very practical. The next few weeks are going to be very practical. We need to understand the tools, and then we need to recognize how to use the tools. And some of you have been using those tools and didn't even know what they were. I think when it comes to oftentimes anything of the Spirit, if you talk about the things of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit, everybody has kind of this almost nanu-nanu approach, like something weird's going to happen, the lights are going to flicker, or somebody's going to talk in a strange voice. Somebody may be talking in a strange voice if you're listening to me, but besides the natural voice that I have, nothing weird happens. It's very natural. It's very practical. And so that's what this study is going to be about, the tools that God has given us. But you know, if we have the tools, if we don't use them, they do us no good. I read an article here just yesterday from the Detroit News. Actually, today, this morning is when I saw this, out of the Detroit News from a while back, humorous story about Bill Cosby's family. And Bill Cosby grew up in a poor family. His, you know, they didn't have much growing up. And so his mom didn't have all the special appliances and all the things that she needed that we have today, the normal things you would have. So as they got older and they began to make money, and especially Bill Cosby became to be famous and have more money, they began to buy their mom these appliances. But she had done it for so long, the old way, she wouldn't use them. He talked about going back on one holiday and they'd always hound her mom use these things and going back and she had three different toasters up on top of the refrigerator. Never used them. They kept giving her things so she would use them. She kept going to the oven, you know, and turning the oven on and fixing the toast. And they'd get her a toaster and there's three toasters up there. She's turning the oven on. Like, "Mom, please use the toaster." She's like, "Nope, I've always done it this way. I'm not going to change. I've done well without them." And here's the bottom line. She was able to get by, wasn't she? But it would have been a lot easier if she had just used the gifts that had been given to her. The same thing is true for the church today. We can get by. We can choose to reject the gifts, not to use the gifts, to maybe not even whatever. If we want to choose to say, "I don't even believe in the gifts," you're going to go to heaven. You're saved. You're in the Lord. You're going to be in the kingdom of God. But I can tell you this, it's going to be a lot harder in your Christian walk, and it's going to be a lot harder in ministry if you don't use the tools that you've been given. Again, I've shared the story with you guys even in this series about where my uncle, he's an electrician, and he had me digging a ditch. And I can imagine how hard that ditch was just to dig with the tools he gave me. What if I didn't have any tools? And the bottom line is, guys, God has given us a ditch to dig, so to speak. He's given us a ministry to do, a life to live while we're here. We need all the help we can get. We need those tools. And again, the gifts don't do us any good if we don't use them for what God has given them to us for. What I want you to notice about the gifts are not only we're going to identify the gifts as we go through this study, we're going to talk about what the gifts are for, but I also want you to recognize how naturally the gifts operate. And many of you have been using the gifts. You don't even know you're using them, but you're going to see after today in the first couple of gifts, you know what? I've been using that gift. That gift has been operating in my life. So it's going to be eye-opening, I think, if you don't understand about the gifts as we go through this passage. Now, first of all, he comes to what? The word of wisdom. Notice there in verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom. Now, let me begin this by saying that wisdom and knowledge are two very different things. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts. Anyone can get knowledge. Go read a book. You know, go to school. Go to college. You're going to gain knowledge. But as you know, some of the most unwise people you've ever met are from universities. How many of you have experienced that? So just because someone has professor before their name or has all these degrees before their name does not mean you're going to get a lot of wisdom when you talk to them. You're going to get a lot of knowledge and a lot of facts, but not always a lot of wisdom. Here's what wisdom is. Wisdom is the proper application of the knowledge. Wisdom is the proper application of the facts. Now, there's two kinds of wisdom I want you to be aware of as well. There is a worldly wisdom that God gives to everyone. It's a natural wisdom. We call it common sense. And then there's a God-given wisdom. God is talking about the supernatural God-given wisdom in this particular passage. What is an example of worldly or natural wisdom? Well, when you guys pull out of here on Alcoa Highway, you better use some natural wisdom and not pull out in front of the guy, you know, that's driving 80 miles an hour, even if they're not driving fast. I mean, it becomes rather strategic when you're driving on Alcoa Highway. There's a whole planning thing involved in that. But the bottom line is there's wisdom in knowing I better not pull out in front of this person or I'm going to get whacked, right? Everybody knows that. That's called common sense, common wisdom. But guys, the kind of wisdom the Lord is talking about here that we need to understand is a supernatural wisdom that there's no way that we can get apart from the Lord. Now, Psalm 111:10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And he's talking about godly wisdom there because truly godly wisdom comes with a fear of the Lord. And as you begin to fear the Lord and understand the consequences of walking with the Lord and standing before the Lord one day and serving the Lord, and just the fact that he's there and that he rules the universe, you begin to gain wisdom. And it's godly wisdom because you begin to make the right choices based on that. Godly wisdom and worldly wisdom are very different. What are an example of having worldly wisdom without godly knowledge? Nuclear technology. You know, we have one of the fears of the world today. We have countries like North Korea and Iran and these countries that are getting a hold of nuclear weapons. North Korea already has them. Iran is currently building them. Again, you look at a nation like that and you say, wow, that's an amazing technology. But if you put it in the wrong hands where there's no fear of God, you've got trouble, don't you? And maybe it's a fear of God, but it's not a fear of the true God. It's not a fear of the God of the Bible that honors mankind and loves mankind and says that mankind needs to be preserved. You're talking about people that would wipe us out without a second thought in many cases. And so you see how some just having knowledge is not always a good thing. There has to be wisdom. Now, even as there can be a dangerous knowledge in the world without true wisdom, guys, there can be a dangerous knowledge in the church without godly wisdom. Godly wisdom is something that we need to operate individually, as we said, and also as a church. And when it comes to this wisdom, it's not something that you have a vast reservoir of where you can have all this wisdom whenever you want it. You know, oh, wise one, I'm coming to you or whatever. It's something that God gives specifically for a situation in our life or in the life of the church. For example, if there's a critical issue that's happening in the church that you need particular wisdom on, then the elders would get together and say, no, God, we need wisdom on this, and pray, and God will give wisdom. If there's an individual situation in your family, I had someone come up afterwards, I need wisdom for a situation in my life. If there's individual wisdom that's needed, seek the Lord. God will give that wisdom. James 1:5 is an example of that. In James 1:5, it says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God who gives wisdom liberally, he gives it in abundance. But our job is to ask. We simply have to ask the Lord and God will do it. What are some biblical examples? And again, with a topical study, I'll be sharing some of these examples. We'll be reading some and we'll turn to some places in a moment. But again, mostly just sharing because there's a lot of examples and for time's sake, we're not going to try to read them all. But you can jot these down if you want to read them later. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28, we see Solomon with the two women and the live baby and the dead baby. You remember the story. There were these two prostitutes living together. They both had a baby. One of them went to sleep on their baby and killed it. It suffocated during the night. She wakes up, finds out her baby is dead. She goes and gets the live baby, brings the live baby over. They wake up the next morning and they begin to fight. The first woman gets up and realizes, my baby's dead. Then she realizes, this is not my baby. And the woman has changed babies. She's like, give me my child. She goes, no. And she knew it wasn't her child. This is mine. I'm keeping it, right? So they go to Solomon. The Bible says the wisest man in the world, obviously besides Christ. But they go to Solomon. And what does Solomon do? You see, Solomon knew. God now gives Solomon a word of wisdom. Yes, he was a wise man, but this was a direct word of wisdom for a specific moment when it was needed. And that's where this gift operates. He knew that the mom that had the live baby didn't want that baby to be killed no matter what. So she would be willing to give that baby up just to have it live. So he says, bring me the baby, get a sword out, cut the baby in two. Now, this is very, it sounds gruesome, but very wise. Solomon knew that it would never happen because he knew the real mom would say, you know what? We're not going to fight about this. It's hers. She can keep it. Let her have the baby. See, all mom wanted was the baby to be alive. Better to have the baby alive in someone else's arms than to have the baby dead in hers. And so she said, you can have it. Well, Solomon knew right then, you're the mom. And guys, that was a word of wisdom. And everybody was astounded by it, which, by the way, is one of the other aspects you'll see to the word of wisdom. Whenever a word of wisdom is spoken in your family or in the church, everybody knows it's the right thing to do. And it says the whole nation knew right then, you know what? This is a word of wisdom. This is a wise man. And this was the Lord. That's how the gift operates. It's where God gives that supernatural example. There's another one in Acts chapter 6. Remember when they were trying to decide who was going to get watch over the tables and make sure that the widows were being taken care of properly in the church? They had the Hebrew widows and they had the Gentile widows. And the church was taking care of these widows. There were obviously an excessive amount of widows at that time. We don't know the reason. But either way, they were serving those widows. And they start arguing, saying, well, they're taking better care of the Hebrew widows than they are the Gentile widows because they're Jews. And this isn't fair. And so the leadership got together and basically by word of wisdom said, you know what, let's do. Let's appoint some guys that are Jew and Gentile, put them together, seven guys. Let's have them watch over all the tables and make sure that everybody is treated fairly. And it says again there in verses 3-5, they give wisdom. They say, seek out brethren from among yourselves, seven good men of reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And note this, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. Again, notice word of wisdom, something supernaturally that answers the problem, and at the same time, everybody's happy with it. Again, we see the particular gift in Acts 15, when a dispute arose over the legalistic Jews and those that were with Paul. Remember, Paul was traveling around seeing all these Gentiles saved. They weren't under the law. He realized they didn't need to be under the law to be saved. It was by grace and by faith they were saved, and they were seeing great salvation among the Gentiles. Well, they go back, and the Jews there in Jerusalem, the legalistic Jews, are saying, great, look, all right, we can accept Jesus. We'll do that, but we've got to have the law. We can't have Jesus without the law. The law has to be there. We got to keep the law. Paul comes back, and they begin to bang heads. Paul's saying, forget the law. They're saying, no, we have to have the law, and there's this big fight. Here's where the word of wisdom comes in. And by the way, I believe if more churches employed the word of wisdom in their leadership through prayer and saying, God, give us a word of wisdom, what to do about this situation, you would see less church splits in our nation. Because a lot of church splits are simply brought on by one group opposing another group over an issue, and they need wisdom to solve it. And what's neat about the word of wisdom is it brings peace to everyone. Everyone realizes this is the right thing to do. And so again, the same thing happens and they get a word of wisdom there. Peter finally stands up and says, wait a minute, guys, look, let me ask you this. Did you guys ever obey the law? Well, no, we can't really obey the law. Did our fathers ever obey the law? Well, no, they never really obeyed the law. Then why are we laying that trip on the Gentiles who are just coming to Christ? Hey, let's put some guidelines out for them, but don't lay the trip of the law on them. And everybody realized, you know what? This is wisdom. This is right. They're already getting saved without the law, which means obviously the law is not necessary for salvation. So therefore, they're okay, and we have a word of wisdom. Again, we already talked about this one, James 1:5. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And so God desires to give wisdom. Now, there's some examples in Scripture of the word of wisdom. What are some ways that the word of wisdom works today? Let me say this. It works the same way today that it did then, but it may have even worked in some ways that you didn't understand was a word of wisdom. Here's an example. Ever had somebody come up to you and ask you a question about the Bible and you had no clue what the answer was? You ever had that happen? I have. Still happens all the time. They come up, they ask a question like, wow, I don't know. I got to look that up or I have to think about that or whatever the case might be. And note this, as you begin to talk to them about it and begin to just say, well, the Bible says this back here and that, all of a sudden out of your mouth comes the answer. Some of you have experienced that. And you're like going, where did that come from? I have literally had times, and again, just because of the fact that people come to their pastor, this one happens to me sometimes, because God loves you guys. He wants you to know the answer. And he goes, well, Mark doesn't know it, so I'll tell you, you know? And so it just depends on whoever's standing there. And I have literally learned things in the Bible as I shared that I have never understood before. I kid you not. And it's exciting because I'll sit there and somebody will ask me a question and I have no clue. And I begin to say, well, let's look at what the Bible does say. We begin to look at a few verses here and there, and all of a sudden out comes this answer that is the answer to the question. And you both know that's God. That's the answer to the question. That's how a word of wisdom operates. God supernaturally just gives the wisdom to you, and it's a done deal. And as I said, many of you have experienced that before, and I encourage you to pray for that gift. If you don't have that gift, matter of fact, before we're done today, we're going to pray together as a body for the word of wisdom. It's a great gift to have individually and as the body of Christ. If you've had that happen in your life, that is a word of wisdom. That's how it operates. But notice Paul goes on. He not only says one is given a word of wisdom there in verse 8, he goes on and says to another is given the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. And this is the last one we're going to get to today. We tried to get through faith last time, but it took too long. So we're going to scale it back and stop with a word of knowledge. But what is a word of knowledge? Word of knowledge is this. It is information given to us supernaturally by God that we would not nor could not naturally know. That's all it is. God just tells you something. I had someone come up after the service and say, you know what? A couple of years ago, God spoke to my heart and said, you know what? Your brother doesn't have long to live. You need to start praying for him. At that time, as far as she knew, her brother was completely healthy. He was doing great. There were no problems, but she was obedient and began to pray for her brother and began to try to share with her brother and give him a Bible and give opportunities, and just found out a month ago that he's dying of pancreatic cancer. And that was 2 years ago. God put that in her heart. Now, that's not the kind of thing you walk up to somebody and say unless you know it's the Lord. Hey, God told me today you're going to die. You know, it's like, no, that's not a good thing. Don't take that approach. And of course, the bottom line is we're all going to die, but hopefully not telling you that you're going to die real soon. The bottom line is that is a word of knowledge. It is something that God reveals supernaturally that you couldn't know any other way. God prompts it in your mind out of nowhere about someone or something, and then suddenly there it is. And note this about this gift, guys. Sometimes you don't even know you're receiving it. Sometimes you know God is telling me something about this situation. Sometimes you simply say something, and the only person that knows it's a word of knowledge is the person you're talking to. You ever had somebody share with you, and all of a sudden they begin to say something to you, and you realize that is God speaking to me because God knows my situation, and there's no way they could know that. You ever had that happen? That person is operating in a word of knowledge at that very moment. Sometimes they don't even know it. That is how the gift operates. Oftentimes, from the pulpit, that happens. Again, I try to relate it to situations that happen in your life, but again, some of these I can apply again even to the pulpit because being a pastor, God has things he wants to say to you. And oftentimes, God will say something through me that I either know God has just now put this on my heart and there's a reason I need to share this, or sometimes I'll say something I don't even know that it's something that was needed to be said, but it's a word of knowledge for someone that's here. That's the Holy Spirit speaking, and sometimes it's even kind of humorous, not really humorous that somebody would get upset, but I've had people over the years, I had someone one time bring a friend, and that friend was so upset with me at the end of the service, how dare I share their personal experience in front of the whole church? I didn't even know the person. I'd never met them. I didn't know them. I didn't know their personal experience, and they left here furious because they thought that I had gotten in front of the whole church and revealed their situation. That's what's called a word of knowledge. And so when God speaks that way, he does it in supernatural ways. He reveals things that you couldn't possibly know, and he lets you realize them. So understand if that happens, then that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with the word of knowledge. And sometimes it happens to us. Sometimes it happens with others. Let's look at some scriptural examples. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. We'll be starting in verse 8, but let me lay the groundwork. What had happened was Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was at war with the king of Israel. And every time the king of Syria decided to do something, God would give Elisha a word of knowledge. Elisha would tell the king of Israel, and it got so bad that the king of Syria thought he had a mole in there. Somebody's spying, and they're getting the information. They're telling Israel, we have a spy among us. And notice what happens here, starting in verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servant, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. So God told him, hey, the Syrians are going to come down there. Don't go that way. So the king of Israel sent someone. Again, he's trying to find out, is this right? He sent someone to the place to which the man of God had told him. And thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. So this was happening where he said, hey, the Syrians are going to be over there today. Don't go that way. Okay, the Syrians are going to be over there. Don't go that way. Wouldn't you love as a commander in the military to have somebody like that in your forces? Wow, I mean, that's just amazing. But that is the word of knowledge, and God was giving this word of knowledge to Elisha. And that word of knowledge, by the way, still operates today. And so notice he goes on. I love this part, verse 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and he said to them, will you not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel? You know, what are you guys as a spy? Tell me who it is. And then one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who's in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Man, that's kind of freaky, isn't it? You know, some people think the pastor knows that kind of stuff. I remember when I was a baby Christian and going to the first, you know, pastor of that first church or whatever, and I remember meeting him thinking, he knows what I'm thinking right now. No, he doesn't. You know, sometimes he doesn't. And sometimes people look at me now, no, I do know what you got. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I want to keep you at home. No, I'm just kidding. I have no clue. But we think that sometimes, don't we? Elisha did know. As a matter of fact, it's interesting the way that God used the prophets. God used them in such a way that they were oftentimes surprised when God didn't tell them. And that's an amazing thing to me. You know, he's like, I don't know. God didn't reveal this to me. I'm shocked by that. But again, this word of knowledge. So here God is using that, and that's how God uses it. Now, here's another thing. Jesus also operated in really all the gifts. And you might be saying, yes, but of course he was Jesus. Guys, note this. The Bible says that the Lord laid down his special heavenly privileges when he came to the earth. Now, he didn't lay down being God. He was fully man. He was fully God, but he didn't take any special God-like privileges while walking on the earth. He chose to be God, but walk the earth as a man. Note that. Scripture says that. Now, with that said, that means that all the things that the Lord was able to do by the power of the Spirit is available to us as well. Is that not humbling or what? Wow, we think, yeah, but he was Jesus. Wait a minute. He didn't use anything other than what is available to us. Now, let me give this balance. The Bible does say that God gave the Son the Spirit without measure. So I don't know that we have the Spirit without measure. Jesus did have the Spirit without measure. But what it shows me is where do we measure up? I mean, if we were fully submitted to the Lord, what could God do in our lives? All these gifts that could be operating, all these things that God could do. It's amazing to think about it. I remember hearing a story about Dwight Moody where someone said to him in a class, a Sunday school teacher said, the world has not yet seen what God can do through one man fully submitted to him. And Dwight Moody said at that point, Lord, I'm going to do my best to fully submit to you. And of course, the rest is history. He was used in a tremendous way. He's one of the main leaders in church history when you look back at the men that God have used. And so the bottom line is, every one of us, guys, each one of you right now in this room, you can be used as much as you want to be used. Absolutely. But it depends on how much you submit to the Lord and seek him to the level that you will be used for his glory. Now, if you're seeking it for your own glory, you're in trouble. But if you're seeking it for the glory of God, it's great. An example of seeking it for your own glory was Simon the sorcerer. Remember that the town where they were following around this, God was moving in a great way. And Simon the sorcerer, you know, prays his prayer to receive the Lord. And he sees all these miracles that the apostles are doing and all this stuff. And Peter comes and Peter lays hands on someone and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says, hey, I want to buy that. Hey, let me know. I want that trick. Can I do that? How do I get that? And Peter turned to him and said, you know what? This is now a New Testament example. Peter turned to him and said, you know what? Your money perished with you. He said, I perceive that you're full of poison and bitterness. Now, how could Peter know he was full of poison and bitterness? Yeah, maybe pride. Yeah, maybe wanting glory. But how did Peter specifically know that it was poison and bitterness? Because God supernaturally revealed that to Peter in a word of wisdom. So it's not just the Old Testament. It wasn't just Jesus. It was also God using the apostles. We see the Lord operating once again in the word of wisdom with the woman at the well. Remember, she sits down with him and they're having this conversation back and forth. And the Lord says, you know what? I've got to get down to the heart of the matter here. This woman's living in sin and I need to address it and I need to tell her the way to salvation. He said, you know, why don't you go get me your husband and bring me your husband? Busted. She goes, I don't have a husband, but he doesn't know anything else. I just don't have a husband. He goes, that's right. You don't have a husband. But you know what? You've had five and you're living with a guy right now. Can you imagine if somebody said that? And if you really were doing it, it'd be, oh, you know, I mean, it'd be like, okay. And then she says, she gets real religious like people do. I perceive that you're a prophet. You know, it's this kind of thing. He was operating the word of knowledge. It was the word of God supernaturally told him that. And God will oftentimes do that in our life. Again, what's another example? Again, we go back to Peter in the New Testament because I want you to see that it's not just Jesus and it's not just Old Testament prophets. Peter was standing there, remember, with Ananias and Sapphira. You know the setting. The church had decided they were going to bring all their funds in, give them to the church, and have the church distribute to the poor, and wanting to look important, wanting to look like, you know, the one that was really the big giver in the church, Ananias and Sapphira came up and said, here, we're giving everything we have to the church, and they made this big show so that everyone would see how generous they were for the kingdom of God, right? Well, listen, God wasn't asking Ananias and Sapphira to give the church everything. He didn't ask any of us to do that, does he? But the bottom line is they said they were doing it and they were lying. Their sin wasn't that they were not really giving everything to the church. Their sin was they were lying about it to look spiritual and important and try to be somebody special in front of everyone's eyes. And God gave a word of knowledge to Peter and said, Peter, this isn't true. And Peter says, wait a minute, you didn't give everything to the church. You're lying to God about this. Why are you doing that? And he exposed that they were lying to the Lord. Again, there's no way Peter could have known that. Supernatural word of knowledge. That's how the gift operates. And so it's a very wonderful gift. It's a needed gift. And I want to give you a balance on this gift as well. That is that sometimes when this gift is in operation, you can believe that you're being judgmental and you're not. Now, let me give you the balance. First of all, should you be judgmental? No. If you feel in your heart that someone, something is strange, be careful. Don't think, I feel in my heart something's weird about that person, so therefore they're in sin. Maybe not. Maybe you're just having a weird feeling in your heart. Be careful of that. We can't trust our feelings. The Bible says the heart is what? Deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? So we're not to trust our heart. We're to trust the Word of God and prayer and the Lord. However, there are times when God will reveal something to you about someone in order to either protect you or to give them warning. And God will give a word of knowledge. I heard a pastor say one time, guys, don't despise discernment. There's a difference in wrongful judging and discernment. And if you think that God is giving you discernment about someone and there's a specific concern you have about someone, hold that in your heart and be careful. Use it. God has revealed that to you for a specific reason. It's like the person that came up after first service and said, the Lord put in my heart, or I felt in my heart very strongly, my brother was going to die. And that was an odd feeling to suddenly feel that my young, healthy brother was going to die. And all of a sudden, I find out a month ago, now after 2 years, that he's got pancreatic cancer. They've given him 3 to 6 months to live. And unless God heals him, you know, then that's what's going to happen. But now the wrong thing for her to do would have been to walk up and say, God is telling me you're going to die. She held that in her heart until God confirmed it. In the meantime, she was doing what she knew needed to be done. So don't be afraid if God reveals something to you. I remember a situation where I felt something very strongly in my heart, that if someone got involved in something, they were going to fall in sin. And it wasn't one of those things where you just, oh, I just know it because it's something that can make them fall in sin. No, it was something specifically where normally you wouldn't think, okay, you know, this is probably no big deal. Don't worry about it. And I remember meeting with them and saying, you know what, guys, I really feel in my heart, this is not a good idea. I think you need to avoid this. Not because what you're heading toward, you know, what you're about to do is sinful, but the thing that you're about to decide, I really feel in my heart, I just felt I had to share this with you. And I believe that it's from the Lord. And I left it alone. I found out shortly after that exactly what happened. They fell into sin in exactly the thing that I warned them about. Now, that's a word of knowledge. I don't share that to act like somehow Mark has all these gifts. You know, I share personal experiences because I want you to see the way it works, but I don't say that, you know, to make it look like there's all these gifts operating through that. I think oftentimes it's the position of where you are and what you're doing, how God uses them, but God uses you guys in the same way. There's things he wants to say in people's lives. There's things he wants to do in people's lives. There's warnings he wants to give. There's all these things that God wants to do, and so he gives this word of knowledge in order to be able to do that. And so don't despise the gift. Be sure that you use the gift. And if you don't have the gift, then I think probably it's a good idea to pray for the gift, to ask God to give it to you. And that's what I want to do today. All the gifts are useful. We want to pray for all the gifts that God has for us. But what I want to get across to you today, guys, is that the gifts are very normal. They're very practical. They work in very practical ways. They're nothing to be afraid of. They don't take you over and suddenly start doing something you don't want to do. They happen very naturally. And sometimes they happen, you don't even realize they're happening until it's done. I guess as we would leave today, the thing that I would ask you this is, do you want these gifts in your life? Do you want the word of wisdom in your life? Do you want a word of knowledge in your life? If you want those gifts, then we're going to pray to get those gifts. Maybe some of you need a word of wisdom today. Maybe some of you need a word of knowledge today. We're going to pray that God gives you a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom about a situation. But again, that God would specifically give us those gifts. And as we go down this list, we're going to be not only exposing each of the gifts and what they are, but at the same time saying, Lord, we need those. Guys, I don't know about you, but I need everything God will give me. Everything. There's nothing that I can leave out. There's nothing I can say, well, I don't need that. I need everything God will give. And I can promise you, if you say, God, give me all the gifts that you have, God is going to give you what he wants you to have. It says in verse 11, when we get there, that the Holy Spirit gives the gifts as he wills. And I don't know that God's going to give you those gifts today. He doesn't give everybody every gift. But if he wills to give you that gift today, it would be wise to ask for it. And again, maybe you already have that now and you realize it because of what's been revealed through this teaching. But let's do this. Let's pray and let's ask for God now to impart that gift today. Are these gifts? Let's pray. Father, I want to, first of all, pray for those today who need a word of wisdom and those who need a word of knowledge. Lord, there are different situations in here today and some right now that are really stuck. They just don't know what to do. And they know that whatever decision they make is going to have a great impact in their life. Lord, I just pray right now, Father, that you would give them a word of wisdom. Speak to them, Lord, very clearly. Maybe even through the teaching today, you already gave them a word of wisdom. And I pray that you would just speak to them, Lord. Let them know what it is you want them to do, and they would know it's from you, because we know that with this gift, when it is you, Lord, then everybody has peace about it. They recognize that God's hand is involved. So, Lord, I pray you would impart that to some right now. Give them that word they need. God, there may be some in here today that need a word of knowledge about a situation. Maybe a word of knowledge, you know, in someone else's life. Maybe something you've already put in their heart right now, and they know they've received a word of knowledge. Let them know what to do with that, God. I pray you give them wisdom so that they don't use it improperly and maybe cause anyone grief, or maybe say something that you didn't want to say or that you haven't said to them yet, or whatever the case might be. But Lord, again, if there's that word that you're receiving for someone, that they're receiving, that they would have the boldness to go and to share that and to use that gift. But Father, I want to pray lastly for the receiving of these gifts. God, we need wisdom. We need knowledge. And I pray that for all who want that right now you begin to pour that out. And you know, if you want God to give you a word of wisdom gift, if you want God to give you the word of knowledge gift, it's up to him whether he does. But let's ask him right now. Just pray this with me. Lord, I want all that you have for me. And I ask that you would give me the gift of the word of wisdom. I need that to make wise choices for my family and in ministry. Lord, I ask that you would give me the gift of the word of knowledge. I need that to make wise choices, to be able to minister in other people's lives, to recognize a situation, maybe in a relationship, God. I need your insight. I need supernatural perspective. And Lord, we know that's what that gift is for. God, I pray you would do that. I want to pray right now that you would give all the gifts that you want us to have as a body. Even if we haven't studied them, Lord, we may not even understand the gifts yet. We may not even know what is happening if the gift is received as far as a different gift. But Lord, I pray that right now you would just pour your spirit out on us and that you would give us the gifts that you want us to have as a body. I pray we would be a body that walks in the Spirit, a body that uses the gifts of the Spirit in a biblical way, and a body, Lord, that can be used in greater power, even as the early church was, because we're operating in following you. Lord, I see a great need, not only in this fellowship, but in the church, really in America and worldwide today, for the use of the gifts of the Spirit. They're tools you've given us. They're not toasters to be on top of the refrigerator and never pulled down. Lord, they're gifts you've given to make our life easier and to make us more effective in the ministry. I thank you that you've made them available. Lord, we receive them now by faith, and I'm excited about what you're going to do in our hearts, Lord, and in the heart of this body as we go through this particular section of Scripture looking at the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, our desire is to follow you and not to be led by the flesh, not to be led by man, but to be led by you, Lord, and by your Holy Spirit. So teach us, Lord, and lead us in that way, and we will give you all the glory. Lord, thank you for the work you're doing right now. And I thank you for your faithfulness to continue the work that you've begun in our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.